Welcome to the Women Who Fights podcast. We empower female fighters to take full agency over their training. Our goal is to celebrate and inspire others with the incredible action women and allies are taking to level the playing field. We talk to experts, uncover prejudice, and champion what's driving our progress.
And today we're very pleased we have Rosa Walsh with us. Rosa, who was promoted to black belt very recently by her bestie, Fionn Davies, and has smashed her first Polaris show. It was like, I don't remember how fast that submission was. We're going to talk about it all. And what we want from today's episode is to meet Rosa, to learn a little bit more about her, and to talk about the camp. So, Rosa, thank you for joining. Tell us first your black belt. And you're not just black belt, you're black belt under the best black belt in the world, the best female black belt in the world. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Of course. And thank you so much for having me. I think one of the things that I wanted, obviously, you know, when you're a white belt, just like, what? Like, think of the day when you get promoted to black belt. And like, I think when it obviously happened, like it happened only just the bones of about a month ago, it was like, it was so perfect that I was kind of like, I was like, did this really happen? You know, like, because I blacked out for the whole like 30 minutes, whatever it happened. But like you said, it was just so magical to like to get it from another female, which was really important to me. To get it from somebody, obviously, who was my best friend and somebody who I admire so much off the mat. And that was really important as well. Like, obviously, 99% of black belts are amazing on the mat, obviously, because they wouldn't be where they were because of that. But I think there's such a minute few that I really, really admire for who they are as a person as well. Or even more so, you know, as a person. Because I think that's the really thing I really valued going up the belts, is that, like, yes, you can do a flying whatever, but it's like, are you a nice person? Do I want to be around you, you know? And I think getting promoted under somebody who I'm absolutely mad about and who I think is great off the mat just made it even nicer again. And then it was a surprise as well, so that was even like the icing on the cake.
Were you not expecting it at all?
No, not at all. Like, because Fionn had hired me to, I suppose, to organize the camp, and like, obviously she's going to be coaching and everything, but like, I kind of did more of the admin stuff around it. So like, I was like, oh, this is like a nice few days in Spain. It was like, obviously there's like a lot of the girls from Dublin where Fionn was training a couple of years ago. Like, I know them all just because we're in the Irish jiu-jitsu community. So I got to see them and I always like hang around with them and stuff. But then when she had this speech, she stopped training like maybe 20, 30 minutes early. And I was like, oh, wondering. And I was just zoning out. And then zoning out to like whatever she was talking to. So I was like, I was tired. And I was just wondering, like, when are we going to be finished so I can go? And like, I had to go to the restaurant to pay for the dinner in advance. And I was trying to organize things in my head. And then people were like looking at me. And I was like, it's like, what are they looking at me for? And then like, she started talking. And then, because obviously Violet Bennett was there doing the photography. I've really gone off on a tangent now. I'm so sorry.
No, keep going.
But she was there doing the photography and stuff. And then when Fionn was like to the white belts during the speech, like, you know, in that video, she was like, it's a massive thing to be able to see a black belt promotion. And I kind of zoned in and I was like, oh my God, Violet. I was like, why is Fionn promoting Violet? I was like, where's Chelsea and Tom? I was like, why aren't they doing it? And then I was like, because Violet had her camera on me. And I was like, oh my God. And then she was like, Rosa, you idiot. She was like looking at me. And I felt so stupid then. But yeah, then I really clicked then. And it was amazing. It was great.
Oh, I saw the video and I had a little moment where it was such a, you can see how much it meant to both of you. Because it's like, you know, we've all seen Fionn sort of like, I was going to say rise, but it was more like meteoric sort of ascendance. And it's just amazing that she's now in the position that she can, like, as you say, grade you as her one of her best friends and like other just women. You know, I think like lack of women teaching in, like, sort of, me and Marina have talked about it a lot is women teaching a lot of people, like as in like everyone, not just men, not just women and children. And so it's like seeing Fionn just like income, like to sort of like be in that space and then like sort of bring you into that as well. It's very cool.
Oh my god, it's like it's so like progressive, but it's not ever made to be like, look at us, we have a token female teaching a class, you know. And like an essential, it's such an environment that is so promoted, not just among the women, it's like, it's so, which is fantastic, it's so normalized among the men. Like, and I don't know, like with JT, he teaches 2 days a week, gi and no gi, and then Fionn teaches 2 days a week, like the night classes, and these are like the 100 people in the class type of classes, and then she teaches gi and no gi. So it's even, you know, it's like JT and her, it's like, it's not like he's JT or whatever, it's like he just, like it's just, there's no difference because of her gender or because of anything else, you know. And it's just in such a lovely environment there, because it's just so normalized, you know. It's so refreshing. And even then, like in the pro class, like it's like normally it's, and this is like, obviously it's great because I compete with women and stuff, but it's like sometimes I've been to pro classes where it's like the girls just train with the girls, which is fine, like obviously we compete against them, but like there it's like the smaller people will go together, obviously, because you don't want to get hurt or whatever, but it's like the men will come in, like the smaller, like light feathers and featherweights, sometimes lightweights, they come and train with our group. So it's like not just females I'm training with, you know. So I think it's just so refreshing to see an environment where she, obviously her, that's a fantastic way of saying it, meteoric ascendance, I love it. And it's just so nice to see her in an environment where she's just so encouraged and promoted, as it should be, you know. Like, even if she never won anything in the world, she's one of the best teachers I've ever experienced. And it's like, she would still, like, she's not treated any differently, you know? So I think it's great.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I'm always trying to think that expression.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Nail on the head. Because, like, a woman doesn't need to bloody win everything to grant herself, you know, able to teach men. But yeah, I love that about essential. Are you training there now? What, tell us a little bit about where are you based, where are you training, what's your life like?
Yeah, my life is busy to say the least, but I like that. So I represent essential, like they are the team that I'm under. And technically, obviously, I'm a Fionn Davis black belt, but I'm also a JT somewhat affiliated to that. I don't even know how that works. But so I'm currently, I train in Cork at the moment, because I've been home in Ireland for the last couple of months. Just, this is nice to be back with my family, you know. As much as I love being a nomad, I really enjoy time with my family and everything. So it's nice to kind of reconnect with them, and that's what's important to me at the moment. It always is, but it's even more important in the last couple of months. And so I train in a Pedro Bessa affiliate here in Cork, BJJ Cork. And it's fantastic. Like it's great because they have, sort of selfishly, they have a lot of like smaller male colored belts. So I think like in one of the pro sessions yesterday, there was like four or five colored belts plus black belts males that were under 70 kilos. I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. The dream. I know.
It's like Christmas.
So good. So I will be going over to Essential towards the end of the year, just before Nogi Worlds and stuff. But right now I'm back in Cork, you know. Yeah. So
are you teaching in there?
I'm not. I don't know. It's like this is obviously maybe the female in jiu-jitsu not wanting to be the one causing any issues, but like there are other females in that gym as well who are all lovely and stuff. I just don't want to be maybe stepping on toes,
yeah,
with them. So it's not the case, just like I suppose offering my services, and I haven't done that yet. But I'd love to, you know. It's like if I can help at all, like there's a lot of change happening in that gym currently, so if I can help at all with them, I think that'll be really cool. But yeah, I'm a qualified teacher, you know, so like I really like doing the teaching, but it's just a case of I also want the training as well. So it's finding the balance.
Working out with their lesson plan. So yes. For do now.
Oh my God, absolutely. I mean, do you find teaching helps your jiu-jitsu?
It does, definitely. I think a lot, this is terrible, this is me undermining myself, but anyway, I think a lot of the wins that I've had have been a lot of the time based on kind of, I'm quite athletic rather than technical. Like, I like that I don't know anything about jiu-jitsu in some extents, but like you said, me teaching a certain position or whatever, it forces me to learn whatever I have to learn about the technique or about the position or whatever in order to be able to teach it. Because, like, obviously when you do PE in a school, you can kind of like pretend you know what you're talking about, but you can't really do that with jiu-jitsu, because they'll catch you out. People will catch you out.
Can I make a bracket? I was asked to teach cricket because we didn't have enough PE teachers. I still don't know how to play, but I taught it.
Did you teach it?
Yeah, I still don't know how to play it, but I taught it.
Oh, you taught cricket? What? I'm sorry. No idea that this happened.
Yeah, they had so shortage of staff, and they knew that I was doing jiu-jitsu, which is not related at all, like nothing. And they were like, do you mind teaching it? I thought I would be rocking up with the shorts and t-shirts on a sunny day, and I said yes, but I wasn't allowed to wear the shorts and t-shirts for the whole day. So,
oh no.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the question. Sorry.
But like the thing with jiu-jitsu as well is that like it's obviously so versatile and so diverse that you'll get caught out if you're bullshitting.
Well, then people ask you questions, don't they? They're saying, but what would you do with your grip if you put it that way round? And you're like, oh.
Yeah. And Fionn is somebody now who I get so entertained by how she reacts to it. Like, she's kind of like, that's actually like another position, you know? So she's quite frank, which is obviously sometimes needs to be said. But like, I'd be more along the Fionn line where it's like, if you're teaching, I don't know, some sort of sweep and he asks about what the other person should do, it's like, it's not what we're doing. But JT, and then I saw it then when somebody asked JT back, like in essentials and like that, something silly sort of question. And he just reacted to it so respectfully and so nicely. And it kind of like flipped the other way where he was so nice about it that your man was like, or whoever had asked the question, like felt a little bit, not even embarrassed, it was kind of like went the other way where it's like, okay, maybe that was a bit weird thing of me to ask. Like, so I've seen the two ends of the spectrum, you know, but like, yeah, some of those questions can be a bit dodgy.
Well, let's talk. I mean, it's interesting that you say that you don't feel like you're that you feel more athletic. I mean, your win at Polaris was, I remember watching your leg, I felt like I was with you when you were making a decision about where to put your leg, because you popped it one side, then you popped it the other side, and you had this moment where you were kind of, I could see your brain going k-k-k-k-k. And yes. it was so well executed, and it's like, I think it was like a testament to your skill set that you can have that moment to be like, where do I want to go, and you're already in that, you can already control it. I mean, that was from where I was sitting, obviously. Talk to us about your experience, because it was, you just went in and like it was one of those things, you got the job done and then just went and like had a pint. It was great.
Also, the video,
how long did it last?
I don't know,
it was like 30 seconds, or you sort of stood up for like 20, but as soon as you engaged it was like 10 seconds. It was very quick.
Keep going, I'm gonna find that answer.
Okay.
But like, that was the thing, is that the video of the Warrior Supplements thing about like winning the prize, I'm pretty sure I was laughing during it for no reason. I'm pretty sure I'd had like two drinks before the interview. And I was watching it today, and my sister sent it to me. And I was kind of like, I was like, what was I laughing about? There's nothing to be laughing about in this interview at all. But I think in terms of the actual fight, like I said it in one of the post-fight interviews about I was kind of under the illusion that Stephanie was going to wrestle. Obviously, she's MMA experience, and I gave up quite a bit of weight. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to maybe adapt my game a lot. Like, some, like, I suppose I'm not going to even lie. I'm not the tallest person, but I think with some, normally in people my weight are maybe similar in size to me. And I think with the start, when she shot in on me, once I had stuffed the start of the takedown, I tried to go for like an Uchimata, but she was just kind of too tall. So I knew I wasn't able to get it. So kind of, that's where the leg kind of hooked in first to try it. And I was like, nah, she's too strong. But actually, I haven't said this to anybody else, which is hilarious. I was watching one of the prelims. It's one of the kids, one of the tiny children. And he did the same jump, whatever I did, the basmati, gazami, whatever it's called.
Basmati.
Something, some Japanese name. Sorry, he's going to have to say my lot because he's getting out. But I saw him do that jump in like the first or second fight. Sorry.
For everyone who's listening, Rosa has a dog on her lap and he's very sweetly licking her.
So cute. I wish I could do that with my baby. Panda. Yeah, keep going. You saw the baby. No, not the baby. You saw the kid. Yeah.
So then when I watched, I saw that and I was like, oh, that was slick. This whatever jump, this, I'm going to call it basmati because I can't remember what it's called. Some Japanese name. So then I saw that in like the first few fights, and then I got that position. I was like, oh, this, you can do the jump from the fight I just saw about an hour ago. So then I did it, and I've seen it go so terribly wrong because a lot of people will jump and chop, you know. And there was a horrific, I think everybody in Irish jiu-jitsu will remember this leg break. Somebody got their ankle literally cracked off from this scissor jump thing. So I knew that I couldn't jump and chop the leg. So I attached myself to, I suppose, to her hip in that, it's like a saddle, I think.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know any of the names. I know what I'm talking about. But then I wanted her to fall with me rather than me force the fall, because this is when the injuries happen. And then, yeah, so then when I knew I could feel her kind of tilting towards me, I was able to kind of bring my hand around the back of the knee just to obviously not, so it wouldn't hyperextend and like then injure her. And then when she came to the ground, I was able to just transition to the knee bar then. Mm.
That lasted 23 seconds.
Okay.
The whole thing.
There's no.
It's incredible. That was really good.
I mean, it's amazing how aware you were of like how, but you being careful, because often in like those sorts of competitions, I feel like, I mean, you know better than I do, but I feel like often, is that often on your mind? Like, I've got to be careful and make sure she's okay. Or is that unique to the situation because of the position?
I think the position more than anything, like usually, like if it's in terms of wrestling, if it's in terms of maybe passing or whatever, like not that I'm trying to hurt anybody. I don't really see it like that, but I'm aware that like sometimes when you're passing, you know, like you can knee cut into their face accidentally if they're coming onto the side, you know, that type of like sort of incidental injury. But I think with this specific position, like there was so much possibility for injury and for quite severe injury. Like I've seen it in action, you know. That's why I was like, Rosa, why are you doing this? You've never done this before in your life. So ridiculously random. But yeah, it was more the position than anything, because in normal jiu-jitsu, it's not that I don't care, but it's like I'm well aware that like these things may happen if your like adrenaline is rushing or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, you don't do it on purpose, but you know, sometimes it's like you are fighting essentially and you're putting a lot of effort into it. So like, mm-hmm. you know, into winning or to winning the position, and crossfaces, you know, vicious crossfaces.
Yeah. So.
Did you study her before?
A little bit. Like there wasn't much stuff to like really watch, because she does mostly MMA stuff. Mm-hmm. She'd fought in Cage Warriors, and I was actually talking to Dan Strauss, I think, afterwards, and he was saying that he had commentated her MMA fight on Cage Warriors.
Oh, he's commentating everything at the moment.
I know. But I know that she had, I think she had won by submission in her MMA fight, but I didn't really study her quite specifically, but I knew that I would be dealing with an opponent who'd want to wrestle, which was very refreshing for me, but who would be like a taller person to wrestle, which was a different challenge, you know.
Right. And you did, how much was the weight difference?
It was minus 72 kilos and I weighed in at 66 kilos.
Right. Wow.
That's quite.
Well, you've got the Polaris win there. Yep. What's next? What are you doing next in terms of competition?
Competition, I will be doing the European Nogi at the end of the month. So that's in Rome, IBJJF. That will be really fun because, like, I love Rome. It's probably one of my favorite places to visit. Like, Ostia is a bit of a shithole, but I'm sorry. Love Italy, but Ostia is a bit of a weird one. And it's actually funny enough now, I won the absolute as a blue belt. This is a little random diversion.
No,
I won the absolute in Nogi Euros as a blue belt, and it was just a nice, it's such a lovely memory. And I actually have the coordinates of Ostia on the tattoo, because after I had won, then all my old team, we went to like a picnic on the beach at like sunset and just celebrate me, I suppose. And it was such a lovely memory to have, you know. So the place Ostia maybe isn't the nicest, but I have really, really lovely memories associated with there.
Oh wow.
Oh, that would be lovely. Are you going? Who are you going with? Are you going with the Essential team or?
There's one or two who are coming from New York to compete. So I'll have somebody to corner me, which is fantastic. I won't have to like run around the warm-up area trying to find somebody to corner me. But like there'll be a lot of people from Ireland going that I'll know. So it's always like, especially even around Europe, like the community is so small, especially among females. So like probably I'll know a lot of people there for sure.
Have you always competed with someone to corner you?
No. I always have to like figure somebody out on the day.
Really?
I remember it was Grapple Kings last year. It was before I left for America. I was fighting. I was a late replacement because somebody needed a match. And I remember I was flying out the next day to America and I had to like run around the warm area and find somebody, and everybody was busy. And I ended up asking Paddy Houlihan, the UFC fighter. So he cornered me for that fight. And it was the funniest thing ever, because in the pictures, like I'm in the middle of the match and Paddy is in my corner.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I know him well now because like a lot of his students and stuff like are girls. So I know them quite well. They're some of my very good friends. Well, back then I didn't know them as well, so it was just very, very funny. But I usually have, up until maybe 2-3 years ago, it's been me cornering myself or me finding somebody in the warm-up area to just corner me.
Doesn't that mess with your mindset?
It does. Like, I definitely feel like I could have had a lot of easier matches in a lot of situations, where if I had somebody who knew my game and knew what to say and stuff like that. But, you know, like a lot of these stuff were out of my control as well. Like the first Grapple Fest where I fought Nadine, I had to ask Tom Halpin, who's Irish and like he's a good friend of mine, but I didn't really know him then. He didn't know what I was going to do. Couldn't even hear him. He's like a soft Limerick accent. It's like, I just needed somebody in my corner and like, And he was great, and like it was the match of the night. That was the first Grapplefest, and like it was the match. It was fantastic. It was a great match, but it was like if I'd had somebody who maybe knew my game and knew what I needed to hear or like saw a different perspective, I definitely think could have given me the edge or something. But I'm terrible. I'm kind of used to it now, which isn't great. But But I think that it is, I suppose in some ways it's maybe been the making of me, because I've had to rely a lot on myself. But now maybe it's, I suppose I'm trying to undo that, where it's like, okay, it's okay if you need a corner. People will be there to corner you. And especially now with actually with the ABCC Open last year, which was really really, that was the kind of the first time where I was like, Rosa, okay, you're great, but you're not Superwoman. You can depend on other people to help you, you know, like before that, there was obviously I had nobody in my corner. And then at that day, there was like Fionn was there, Marcus, who runs Essential, JT wasn't there, but like all the Daisy Fresh guys were there. Kendall and Saul were there from Gracie Baja Newport Beach. So it was like, there were so many people vying to corner me, let's say. And I was just, it was so nice. And it was just like, definitely had to make an executive decision where it was like, okay, you can leave these people help you. Like they want the best for you, you know? So a lot of, it was an interesting thing to experience after being on my own team for so long.
Absolutely. So continuing on from this, because we sort of entered into the mindset realm, which is really interesting. And I guess you've already sort of touched on that. But is there any sort of, what's your preparation like for competitions? And do you get, how do you cope with nerves? Because everyone gets them. Some people seem fine and some people are on the loo for an hour. Like, what's your sort of prep and routine into getting into the right headspace so that you don't just like black out for your match?
I think I when I was coming up through the belts, like I never really, I competed so much like across blue, purple and at the start of brown belt, because I never really got nerves because I was just competing so much, it was kind of like second nature. But then like, I don't know, maybe in like the last year it was like, because obviously I was traveling so much and like I'd be overtired or I'd be overtrained or whatever, and it'd be like I'd be worried about that, and then it would like maybe have a hindrance on my performance. But then in the last year I've kind of realized that like once I'm around people that like, because being around Fionn, like we laugh so much together, you know, just it's like we just cackle, to be honest. And I think that's really, it's really beneficial for me to go in to compete like that, because it's just so lighthearted. If I make it so serious where it's like I'm like pacing the warm-up mat or like big massive headphones in or whatever, it's like, it's just not me. I can't really switch on wearing like finding it so serious. But then when it's like I'm enjoying myself, I'm having fun, I'm laughing or whatever, it's being in a really happy mood. I think that's really, really important for me. And then in the last few months, like I suffered a loss during the summer, and since then I have thrown myself back into competition way too soon probably. But I've been like, for the 10-15 minutes before I compete, it's just horrible feeling. It's like I'm so nervous. It's probably the most nerves I've ever experienced in my life for the 15 minutes, and then the minute I get onto the mat, it's fine. And it doesn't hinder my performance. Like I've competed like 4 or 5 times in the last month and a half. And like I've had great performances, but it's like the 10 minutes before I start competing is 10 million times worse than what it's ever been. So that's something now I'm trying to figure out. And like obviously Julia Scardoni was in my corner on Saturday and we were talking about it. And it was just something I really don't know what the answer is, to be honest. It's like, the nerves don't affect me, like, because the minute I stepped onto the mat on Saturday, it was like, grand, no problem, I know what to do here. But it was like, beforehand, I was like, I'm going to vomit, like, this is horrible. I was like, I don't want to do this, this is so not fun. But then I'm just really stubborn, it's like, Rosa, just shut up and we'll deal with this afterwards. But then afterwards, whether I win or lose, it's not there anymore. So it's an interesting kind of concept. But yeah, in the last, normally I have been okay with nerves in terms of beforehand, but in the last same month or two, it's been like, whoa.
Those sorts of nerves are really, really, mm-hmm. the kind of thing where I mean I haven't competed nearly as much as you have at all, but when I have, I get the nerves. And I remember going once and I was actually like, I nearly got off the train to go home and my boyfriend was like, you can't turn around.
What kind of nerves are you talking about? The sheets?
Me.
Like what, when you both say nerves, do you mean that you really need to go to the toilet and poo everything that you've eaten for the whole week? Or are you talking about like what kind of nerve is that? Are we experiencing the same thing? I want to ask.
For me, I'm very, very anxious. Like having to remember to breathe, yeah, which is fantastic. And that's the biggest thing now, where it's like, even for some reason, I was waiting for ages to walk out for Polaris. I was waiting for like 10 minutes in the little walkway, and it was getting like progressively worse and worse. And it was like, and then it's like, I suppose just trying to like keep my breathing level. But that's right. The big thing I get. It's like maybe kind of hyperventilating a little bit. I don't feel sick, but I feel maybe a little bit scared.
Right.
I don't know why. It's like, I signed up for this. It's not like I'd be forced into it. So I kind of remind myself stuff like that. It's like, Rosa, it's just jiu-jitsu. You know what to do. This will pass. And you fucking signed up for it. So get over yourself. Bit of a no-nonsense thing with myself.
How do you feel to walk, to do the walk?
With the smoke.
Yeah, the smoke. And cameras on your side, on your front, on your left, blah blah blah. How does that feel?
It's really cheesy, I think. It's like, I don't know, it's like just rolling around on the floor, like it's making so much more than what it is. And I think if I start sensationalizing it, like, yes, it's fantastic, the opportunities I've been given, so all the shows that I've been on have been so cool. But I was actually talking to somebody about this today, is that like, I have a tendency to, like, you know, a lot of people, maybe they go towards ego boosters or whatever. I go the other way. It's like, how can I harness my ego to the lesser extent? Like, it's still in the works right now, but there's a challenge that I'm taking on in the next year. A personal one, but it's maybe an activity based one. And it's like, couldn't be more about harnessing my ego, about like suppressing my ego. But I don't know. I just think with jiu-jitsu, obviously it's definitely gone towards like the shows and stuff, like towards more the performance aspect. But I think for me, in order to maintain my well-being, it's like, I got to see it for what it is. You know?
That's very grounded. Can you share what this challenge is with us, or is it?
By the way, no man ever said.
What?
About that ego suppressing. No man ever said that. Yeah, go on. What's the challenge?
I want to organize it first, that's the biggest thing. But it's a running challenge. It's a running thing. Because I'm one of the very few who like running. And I think it's very, very challenging, and it's very... That's disgusting to some extent, because it's just so hard. But I think it's a running challenge, and it's going to be a great feat for me to do, because I have a tendency to be quite complacent sometimes, and this will just really not make me be complacent.
Oh my god, I can't wait to hear what it is when it all gets organized.
You're into running, aren't you? You are into running.
And like, there's a fantastic quote from I trained up in East Coast about a year after COVID, when Fionn was still training there, and I was telling her, I was like, oh, everybody went running during COVID and everybody thought they were great runners. And she was like, you should never run unless you're being chased.
That's what Marina says as well.
Exactly. And why would you ever run?
She was like, yeah, you were like, why would you run unless someone was chasing you?
Even then, I'll be like praying they stop. You know? You have traveled, like, every time I open my Instagram, you're somewhere else, right? Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, you've been everywhere. Thailand, New York, blah blah blah. Can you talk a little bit about that? How does it help you, your life, your jiu-jitsu, your brain?
I think it kind of it helps my brain and maybe my well-being more than anything, because like, a lot of these opportunities have been given because of my jiu-jitsu or because of other reasons. But it's like, it's just so mind-blowing that like, it's just so, it makes me so grateful and stuff that like, I get these opportunities to go and like use my college experience to go and teach jiu-jitsu in Thailand, in Greece, in... Obviously, New York was more a case of going to train and stuff, but it's like, I think having the opportunities being kind of like that I get to experience, it's just really made me be a lot more grateful. You know, it's really, I suppose, made me a lot more secure. And like, I'm obviously like, I'm my own worst enemy to like at the best of times. But like, it's like, even in Thailand, it was, unfortunately, Fionn wasn't able to end up going just for our visa reasons. But I was like, okay, if she's not going, I won't be able to go. But they're like, no, Rosa, we still want you to go, you know? And I was like, oh, you know, it's like, it just reminded me of like, I suppose reminded me of my worth to an extent. And like, I'm very, very set on like, I don't tie my worth to anything to do with my jiu-jitsu. But I think with that, it was like, I'm kind of like, oh, this is just like, we get Fionn and then we'll get her little friend on after her. And then it was like, she wasn't able to go. And it's like, oh yeah, I was still invited, you know? So it definitely grew my confidence a little bit and like definitely forced me to be a lot more grateful for the experiences.
Amazing. I mean, I feel like everyone I know who's traveled for work or for whatever reason and sort of being in other countries for a sort of certain period of time, or just, you know, being well traveled, everyone says how amazing it is for their, just it makes you feel alive and meeting so many amazing people as well and like expanding your network. I feel like, yeah, I mean, has it been tough being away from home, or have you kind of embraced that sort of knowing that that was just what you were doing at the moment? And
I think a bit of both. Like, I wasn't in the best place maybe mentally when I left about at the start of 2022. It was like, it was definitely the best decision I made was to go traveling. Cause I traveled like the end of 2021, I'd been like doing weekend trips to like to compete and come back. I was working full time in school at the time. But then when I got to the start of 2022, my contract had ended and I wasn't in a great spot. So having gone, and for that entire year, it was like you said, it was, I'm taking it for what it was. And it was like, I was experiencing it to the nth degree. But then maybe after, like towards the start of this summer, this previous summer, it was like, there was a few things in terms of like maybe my personal life, my family life, where it was like, obviously I'm doing this as a job and stuff, but it was like, yeah, but the family thing needs to come first here. So then like, I suppose I took July off completely, and then pretty much most of August. And I think that it was really hard because I was like, yeah, but I have to go and I have to go train and I have to go and do X, Y, and Z. When it was like, for the bones of 18 months, it was like, I work remote, I teach English online, I do X, Y, and Z or whatever, and I do jiu-jitsu full time. But then in the last couple of months, it's been like, okay, it had taken me away from what I needed to value a bit more. But now it's kind of balancing out. Like, it's kind of the best of both worlds now because I still have these great opportunities, but I'm also being able to prioritize like my family and like, and like, I just like, in terms of my personal life, a lot of stuff I kind of forgot about, like kind of paused. And especially now when coming home and stuff, like a lot of things, issues that I had here were still there from 2 years ago. So in the last month or two, it's been very, very refreshing and very so challenging to deal with the things that I never dealt with when I left 2 years ago, you know? So it's all baby step. It's all kind of calming out now, which is really, really good. But the fact that I was able to get these opportunities still and as well be home with my family and stuff, it's great. It's the best of all worlds.
I was going to ask you, because when we met, like, on Grapplefest, I remember that you were talking about having some lows, like experiencing some lows in your life. And I wanted to ask, how do you manage to leave that aside and be great at jiu-jitsu? Like, how do you compartmentalize things in your head and not let it affect you?
I think I've experienced like a bit of both. Like, I think I have allowed it to affect my jiu-jitsu just because, I don't know, like for other reasons that I've been out of my control. But I think a lot of the time, like, jiu-jitsu it's so distracting from whatever is going on in my life that it's like, this is, it's actually really nice to be training, you know? It's like, whatever lows I was having, it's like training or competing, whatever, it's like, this is so nice. It's like I don't have to think about maybe what's going on in my head or what's going on in my life, my family right now. It's like I just get to go and do the sport that I really, really enjoy, you know. So I think having that perspective on it has really allowed me to some ways compartmentalize. But like, as well, there's been moments like where whatever has been going on in my life, and it's like I had to go and compete then, and it's like I could have won, and it's like I'm still so sad, you know. You know, it's like I'm still so sad, and it's like, what was the even point? Like the first competition I did after COVID, I drove on my own. It was in some mini town in Ireland. And like I was there on my own. Obviously I knew people, like, but my old team were there. And this was when we weren't on great terms, and like I won double gold. But afterwards I was like sitting on my own, and they were all in a group, and it was like, what's the point, you know? And that was the last time I competed in Ireland, up until obviously Grapple Queens. And it was just like there, it was like, yes, jiu-jitsu was amazing, but sometimes the things outside the mat will really, really get to me, you know, and I have to value them. I have to maybe find them or find the solution for them if I want to continue. Because like I could win everything in the world, you know, but the life off the mat still has to be more important, you know. I still, like, obviously now I do. Back then I maybe didn't. I was struggling my mental health, but right now I have obviously a great team with Essential. BJJ Cork here have been fantastically welcoming. I have the best friend in the world who, like, it's just, and it was such a lovely addition to the last 2 years of my life having Fionn, because it was like somebody who was like an acquaintance and just skyrocketed to friend because we just clicked so well. Like, I'm obviously, my family is fantastic. So I think now, if I was to never lose another match ever again, I'd be fine. Wait, if I was to lose every match for the rest of my life, I'd be fine, because all aspects of my off mat life are in such great shape because I've really had to work on them. But I think back then it was like my off mat life was in such a shambles that it was like, when I got off the mat, whether like it didn't even click with me if I'd won or lost, because it was like, okay, now I'm back to non-jiu-jitsu life. This is shit.
Well, I mean, I think we all have coping mechanisms, don't we? And like escape places. Like if you're injured, like I've got a bad shoulder at the moment, so I can't roll, and it's just been like a couple of weeks, and there feels like there's this huge hole, because actually we all rely on something. Some people, everyone relies on different things. I think if you do exercise to this degree, then you know, I think only people who are addicted to a sport will get it. Like climbers get it, you know. You know what I mean? But it's like when you don't have it, you lose the, you know, you lose that sense of what keeps you steady. If the rest of the life is like rocky, that's like your core, and if that goes, or if that you suddenly don't have that space to be in, you are just left with like a mess. I think like it can be, I don't know, I think it can also be very easy to sort of not fix, like I say fix, and you can't fix life, but you know, sort of steady life when you have something like jiu-jitsu. It can be very easy to let that happen. I think a lot, I definitely have in my time. But it's amazing that you feel like you've gotten to this lovely space where you have that steady ship now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that one of the reasons why I've maybe gotten here is like, honestly, like due to COVID, like obviously in Ireland, it was obviously in the UK as well, it was really bad. It was like so unnecessarily long, and it was like, come on, just let us train, obviously. But there was obviously the other reasons involved there. But my boyfriend at the time, we were living together during COVID, and like I kind of fell out of love with jiu-jitsu during COVID. It was like, I was like, we're never gonna be able to train again. Fuck this. I don't like this. And the poor boy had to literally, he wasn't able to train for weeks because I wouldn't do it, you know. So I think obviously I dealt with that journey throughout COVID and came out the other end, and like had to just threw myself back into competing and stuff to try and maybe, like, I suppose, ignite the fire again. But I think when I completely fallen out of love with it, it was just like you said, it was like, I didn't have the hole because I didn't even like it anymore. But now, say 1 to 3 years later, even over to when I had to, well, not like, I didn't give it up for July, but I was dealing with a lot of family stuff, so I wasn't training. It was a hole because it was like, I was at home all day, every day. Like I was at my family's house in Belfast. We were there for the month of July, give or take. And it was like, it was just, I'm so used to like leaving at like 5 p.m. I get public transport or I get a Lyft, whatever, train from 6 to 8-ish. Then I come back. And like that routine was so ingrained for the last 2 years that it was just like, I kind of felt the loss there. I felt the loss of training, which was so different to how it happens during COVID, where it was like, fuck this, I'm going to watch TikTok for 5 hours during COVID, or I'm going to go and watch Netflix and eat or whatever happened during COVID, you know? So I do feel so sorry for like my ex now, but it was like, he got such a rollicking because he was like wanting to train. He's obsessed with training. I didn't want to even put on a gi, like, and he got bought mats and everything, poor boy, but he's grand. He's a black belt now. He's fine. But I think it's been, obviously during July was quite a weird month for me, but it was like, I was experiencing like the fact that I had felt like I was lost was such a massive improvement. That seems sounds weird, but it was like, okay, I do like jiu-jitsu. This is healthy. This is something now, like, I didn't know if I was doing it for, because it, like, you know, the time thing where it's like, I've been doing this for long enough, better just keep doing it, or if I was doing it because I liked it or I loved it, you know? And I think then it was like, when it wasn't there, when I had obviously hadn't been training, it was like, oh, I like being gone for the evening, you know? So yeah, that was a massive thing.
Mm, I love it. A question I wanted to ask, I should have asked before, that just came to me. Do you feel kind of a pressure, not pressure, but like the sense of responsibility now that you're a black belt to be a good person and a black belt? Like, how, what's your perspective around that? Because when we see black belts and when we were taught by black belts, like I'm thinking the way I was thinking since I, you know, started jiu-jitsu. I was like, I admire this. I'm like, my instructors, I admire them. Like, how are you thinking about it, and what does it mean that you are now that, like, what are you changing anything? Are you tell us?
I think I've gone so down the road of like being like a good, like, admiring people for who they are off the mat that like that it kind of comes on, like, you know, honestly, it comes on to the mat. Like, I have such lovely time for a certain, like, there's a black belt in BJJ Cork who, like, and like everybody knows, like I'm mad about him. Like, he's the best training partner, and like, he's fantastic, and like, his wife is the best training partner. Like, it's just, it's so lovely. And because there's like, the two of them are such lovely humans off the mat, just in my brain it just transmits.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, it's very scientific.
That's terrible. Transmits, yeah, scientific.
Transfers,
that's a better word. Thank you, Shanti. We are hopeless, Marina.
It's fine. Yeah. You're good at jiu-jitsu. You don't need, yes. You don't need that.
You don't need English.
Go on.
And I think with the two of them, it's like, I admire them so much more now on the mat because I know who they are off the mat. Whereas, like, it doesn't really, this is something now, one of the reasons why I've had so much fun the last 2 years is because, like, obviously through Fionn and through the Daisy Fresh guys, I've met a lot of these big name black belts. And like, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you have a black belt or a whatever belt. I want to know the person, you know? And Fionn has fantastic stories about how I react to these big names, because obviously they all know who she is and stuff, and I was just some random brown belt. But like, I have no time, you know, like a lot, like sometimes with some people, because they're a certain build, because they're of what it, like, for whatever reason, whatever title they have, there's a sense of maybe grandeur about them. And like, obviously I admire the titles, fantastic, go you. But if they're maybe a little bit up themselves, it's like, I don't really want to be around you. I don't care if you're a superstar black belt. It's like, that's not what I'm about. And that's, once again, going back to the whole promotion thing, is that like, Fionn is such a, she's such a, like, an, not even an ambassador, but it's like, she's such a figurehead for authenticity. You know, it's like, what you see online or what you see in person is what you get. She's not fake. She's not trying to be anything. She's not, she's the worst shit talker in the world, as as you saw from Who's Number
One.
We saw.
Oh, man. Nice. I thought she responded really well.
It was like she just responded admirably, you know. And it was like, that was one of the reasons now where I was like, yeah, there you go, another reason why she's amazing and stuff. Where obviously, and probably comes from maybe other martial arts, where it's like, if you shit talk, or if you do whatever, if you insult whatever, like the Instagram wars, you'll get more money, get more views, whatever, which is great for them. If that's their goal, absolutely go ahead. And like, obviously with the Jasmine and Fionn fight, it was one of the most watched fights of the entire card and stuff, you know. But I just think for me, I that's not my goal. It could be in the future, and I'm well aware of that. But for me, it's like, I don't want to lose any bit of myself for the sake of a match, you know. And that's not who I am. That's not the people I surround myself with. That's not who they are, you know. So if my goals change and I become somebody who wants, I don't know, who wants to shit talk for the sake of getting more opportunities or whatever, then that may change. But right now, I don't think it will change, in all honesty. I think it's, I just have to be, and obviously now with the new belt, I have to be somebody who I would admire as a white or blue belt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And the last part of this episode is about the Women Who Fight camp in Cyprus. So you will be one of the instructors. We're not saying who the other one is, because this is coming first.
Okay.
You will be teaching two sets of training sessions. So the no-gi and the takedown no-gi. Tell us a little bit about it. Like, obviously you've done so many camps, so this is now second nature, but what are you bringing and why should people get excited, apart from the fact that they're going to be in Cyprus?
True. I'm in Cyprus today. Like, it's, I know nothing about it. Have you ever been? Never been, no.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's so cool. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. But
I'm so glad.
We also have like the best sort of, you know, Marina knows the island. Like, yeah, you know, so course. We've got like, we of have.
The inside woman.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a local.
I think for me, as in terms of the technique and the classes, like, I love bringing stuff that I use in my game quite a bit. And like, for me, obviously I don't always win, but I always have very exciting matches. And I think like, it's very wrestling focused, but then obviously whatever basmati jump I did over the weekend, sometimes you might see a bit of that going on. But I think mine is very submission focused. It's very exciting to watch. And I think a lot of my game ops is influenced by Fionn. So I think, yeah, and it's like, with probably worse jokes than her, because she thinks she's hilarious, but I'm probably worse than that. But I think they should be excited, because a lot of, especially here in, obviously it won't be in the UK, it'll be in Cyprus, but there maybe isn't a lot of stuff done. Like, a lot of the girls at BJ Cork or any of the gyms I've gone to in Cork, they maybe struggle with the stand-up part of it, you know, the stand-up part of no-gi jiu-jitsu. So I love, and I did so much of that in the US last year, and I absolutely adore it. So I really, really love sharing something that I have so much passion for myself, you know. So people love it, you know. Girls don't get enough opportunity to like wrestle each other, you know. So I can't wait to share it with everybody, and it's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be amazing.
Can't wait. And
as someone who is shit at wrestling, I am so excited. As one of those people. It's just like, I wrestle. I had this joke at my gym, which is like, I've got a friend who's really good at wrestling, and I just hold her hand and then start sort of pitter-pattering around her because I think she's going to start going for my feet, and I just start running. And it's like, I'm like a white belt on my feet. It's awful. So I'm really, it's going to be great. It's going to be really, really good.
Rosa, have you ever done judo?
No, but partly I think I've done. A lot of my matches I have hit judo throws I've never done.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, that you look as if you've done judo.
Back to BJJ Cork. So the guy who runs it, Liam Beechner, he, I don't know if he even did judo, but he's really, really good at judo, and I've learned a lot from him from it, which I think is great. But yeah, I don't know, for some reason I just keep getting into the position where I need to use judo that I've never done before.
That's amazing that you're just like making it up and you're like, oh, look, it's a Uchimata. Oh, hello.
Right, we cannot wait. Like, no. April cannot come any sooner. Shanti, do you want to ask anything else?
No, we've got our last question though, which we ask all of our lovely podcast guests, and this can be, don't think about it too hard. It's, what are you fighting for?
I like this question. I've been asked it before. I like fighting / jiu-jitsu because it always makes my life off the mat so much easier.
That's such a good answer. Succinct
as well. Boom. Succinct as well, to the point. Boom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women Who Fight podcast. And credit to Will Grant for being our songwriter and sound editor. Please subscribe and share and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at womenwhofight.co.uk, and check out our website for more content.